Today, we are going to dive into a very serious question. I worry for Singapore property market. Are we losing our competitive edge? In recent years, we have been seeing a very worrying trend. More F&B outlets, retail business are shutting down, and many barely make it past their first few years. High rents, labor shortage, and thin profit margin are squeezing local operators. This has been widely reported in the main media. At the same time, new, well-funded foreign brands are entering the market aggressively. They push up rental expectation, making it even harder for local SMEs to survive. When one local shop dies out, we don't just lose a business, we lose a part of our heritage. Add to that phenomenon, more Singaporeans are shopping and dining overseas. Well, I'm one very good example. I just had one of the best sashimi in a Japanese restaurant in Tokyo. Do you want to guess how much I paid for it? Mind you, this is in a tourist location. I only pay $35 for it. I'm pretty sure it will be easily double the price in Singapore. Here, why are Singaporeans traveling overseas in droves? Very simple, for cheaper food and experience. Our neighbor offer affordable food, variety, and vibrant street life. This is something we can hardly find in Singapore. Let wait until the school holidays start and you will know what I mean. And it's not just locals that feel this way. Some tourists already felt Singapore is expensive and there's not much to see. Just visit any social media posts and you will see tons of comments on the negative experience they have in Singapore. This perception hurt our tourism competitiveness and reduced spending here. I assume our Singapore Tourism Promotion Board should be well aware of any bad publicity. So, what should we do? If we don't address this now, our property landscape will become too expensive, too uniform, and too boring, while our unique heritage will slowly fade away. We need bold moves, exactly what our Prime Minister always emphasized. Adapt, transform, and stay relevant. Here, I have four proposals from a housing and urban planning perspective, coming all from a property agent. Let's take a look at Chinatown today. It's boring, old and tired, and many say it has lost its soul more than a decade ago. Too many similar shops selling souvenirs, too many short-lived F&B concepts, not enough genuine culture. Wherever I go, ngong mo ngan hai. As a Chinese, I felt embarrassed that our Chinatown has become like this. Sorry folk, sorry for my harsh word. I'd rather go to nearby Chinatown complex to eat my favorite hawker food. Young Singaporeans should come and support them. If you don't, who will come and support our own? It's the same for our defense. If we don't defend her, who will? Meanwhile, Kampong Glam and Geylang Serai have retained much of their authenticity. Small artisan shop, culture trades, colorful street full of life. I always enjoy visiting such places. Saya suka pergi Geylang Serai, hutan makan dan berjalan. Tetapi, cucuan panas. I always enjoy visiting such places, not forgetting Little India. I think it has kept most of the character in this area. Try visiting it on a weekend or during Deepavali. I can assure you, the feeling and ambient are so much vibrant. It looks so real. You can even drop by Mustafa where you can technically get lost inside. This is my proposal. The authority should restrict certain type of new commercial entry into historical area. This is the same principle how URA adopt a no strata subdivision rules in central Singapore. Policy has to be effective to preserve such characters. We cannot always say, let market force decide. This is critical, and I have said it the third time in my video. Shophouse prices have risen sharply because investors view them as trophy assets. They are as good as landed properties, which is only Singaporeans can buy. Especially with the influx of family office in recent years. When new buyers take over, rental rates have to rise to cover the mortgages. When rental rise, what will happen? Obviously, business owners have to raise costs. Singaporeans will stop patronizing when nearby JB is selling at half the price and double the days. And when customers stop coming, business owners have to close shop for good. Here, we must limit or place condition on foreign purchase in heritage area. Commercial prices can moderate. SSD should also be enforced on this segment to prevent flipping. We cannot give it a free hand. That is why local retailers are suffering in silence. We must have priority to safeguard Singaporean interests. This is what our government always say, we, but let us ask ourselves heart to heart first. Is that really true? Or is that a we versus them? Singapore is known for efficiency, but sometimes too much rigidity kills creativity. Imagine if we had more micro-zoning options, small craft studios, seasonal night market, community cafes, pop-up retails at affordable rental rates. Here, this let me think of this tiny coffee shop in Tokyo run by an elderly couple. The kind that tourists will visit it because it feels so real. It feels homely. Well, these are human connections that make a neighborhood vibrant. I feel Singapore has lost its appeal on this. It's too commercialized. What should we do? Well, we should also carve out space for rising entrepreneurs to take on such enterprise at affordable rental. I believe many young Singaporeans will be more than happy to embark on that. Let us give our very own young entrepreneurs, startup, and traditional trades a fighting chance. This is the same principle how HDB has given extra housing grant to underprivileged family. Do you know in my most recent trip to Japan, temples sustain themselves by selling charms, talisman, and accepting donations. One good example is how my daughter enjoyed these wishing tools when we visit a temple in Tokyo lately. She make a small 1,000 yen donation, take a stick out from it, collect a slip of paper that explain our fortune, and that's it. If you want to make more donation, there are charms and other items for sale. On the other hand, Singapore temples, church, and mosques rarely tap onto this potential. I cannot understand why. This is free money from tourists. Can you imagine the amount of donation that you can collect from tourists? All these funds will be very useful to upkeep the place as well as offer more programs for the less underprivileged. Moreover, charity organizations can use such venues to sell handmade items made by their members. This is a win-win situation. On this, I will directly write in to all the religion buildings in Singapore to adopt such practice. Imagine if we adopt such practice, this will surely elevate the tourism experience and make Singapore less boring. This can also encourage local Singaporeans to visit another place of worship other than their own beliefs. This will allow us to understand other religions even better. And one good example, during the shooting of most of my videos, I will make an effort to visit church, mosque, temple, and even Sikh Gurdwara. Not only to admire the building, but also to make donation. This is how we can show the world regarding Singapore multicultural society, instead of just our shopping malls and tourism attraction. At the end of the day, Singapore doesn't lack talent or culture. What we lack is breathing space, for creativity, for local businesses, for heritage to survive. If we truly want to stay competitive, we must be brave enough to do the unthinkable. Because a city that becomes too expensive will eventually lose the very charm that makes it successful. If nothing changes, Singaporeans will continue to receive CDC vouchers. But we may also lose something far more valuable, our heritage, our identity, and our soul, and our very competitive edge. If we lose that, our property price will ultimately suffer one day too. Anyway, I'll be forwarding this content to Minister of State for National Development, Mr. Alvin Tan. After all, Little India fall under his charge. I seriously hope he can help to look into this to fly the Singapore flag even higher. If you ever realize, I'm wearing two watches today. One is a physical tracker, the other is a smartwatch. For those that are interested to sign up for clinical trial, I have left the links in the description below.